The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
It is The Hard Shoulder. It's Anton in for Kieran. We move to talk about those tariffs now. 200% tariffs being threatened by Donald Trump, going to be applied to European wine, champagne and spirits. And this is if the EU goes ahead with the tariffs that it has planned to place on American whiskey, which are, of course, in response to the original tariffs as placed by Donald Trump. Emma Harrod is with us, economist at TU Dublin. Emma, we have seen this sort of thing before, the escalating tit for tat, albeit not usually escalating quite this quickly. Are there any precedences in previous experience to suggest that this kind of thing ends well?
Hi, no, Anton, I'm afraid there really aren't. And I think history shows us how damaging this kind of tit for tat tariffs and retaliation and move towards protectionism is for everyone involved. So for the countries themselves, but for global economic growth. If you look back, so the EU and the US have become, or the Europe rather, and the US have become embroiled in these trade wars. Previously. So one of the reasons why economists think the Great Depression lasted so long and was so harmful was because of tariffs that were enacted towards the start of that economic downturn. So back in the late 1920s, so kind of after the First World War, Europe and the US started to protect their agricultural sectors. And essentially this kind of escalated and the US had enacted tariffs on agricultural imports from the EU before the downturn started. But in 1930, so sort of at the start of the Great Depression, they increased the level of those tariffs to 47%. And of course, Europe retaliated. And like what we saw was that this, a lot of countries then moved towards protectionism, implemented tariffs themselves, and global volumes of trade fell between 1929 and 33 by 25%. And particularly between the US and Europe, the imports and exports between those two countries fell, or between those two regions fell by about a third. So that really prolonged the Great Depression and had a big negative impact on economic growth.
Now, the fact that both sides, or usually both sides, might want to avoid such an outcome doesn't make it any easier if your only choice is either capitulation or going to war. Regina Doherty is with us, Fine Gael MEP for Dublin. Does the European Union have any wiggle room in this, Regina, or do they just have to meet tit for tat with every increase in tariff?
So the thing I'd first say is that the European Union have a very strong record in defending free trade and fair trade. And I think history has shown that, and they've enjoyed the fruits of it. The relationship between the US and the EU is interlocked. You know, that we desperately need each other as much as we need each other. What's unique about this is that protectionism in the form of tariffs usually are effective against a foe. And you don't usually use them against a friend. You sit around the table in a pragmatic way and have proper trade talks. And our trade commissioner, Mara Seskovich, was over in Washington a number of weeks ago, had conversations, laid the cards on the table and said, yeah, you have problems with us in Europe. And I hear you and I'll see what I can do about them. But these are the problems that Europe has, you know, with the US. And that's the way you negotiate and get better outcomes. I mean, we have a new US administration. They're absolutely entitled to be peeved off, you know, with the way they see the country and make changes. But how you do that in a kind of a professional, pragmatic way to get the outcome that you want to is you sit around the table and you negotiate. And this kind of bombastic, you know, I slap your face, you slap my face harder, is doing nothing except causing the markets to have huge instability. It's ultimately going to, you know, affect consumers in a cost of living crisis that none of us want to either return to in Europe or engage or elongate in the US. Companies are going to suffer. Yeah, like there's no win-win here for anybody.
Do we have any reason to believe, Regina, though, that these threats will come to fruition? Because the one thing about Donald Trump is that he has proven himself to be as willing to U-turn and abandon his notions as he is to announce them.
I loved his coin of phrase yesterday was that he was flexible. I'm not sure the markets need his kind of flexibility, and companies certainly don't. In my experience, they tell us the most important thing that companies need to thrive and to grow and to improve all our economies is stability, and to know exactly where they are. We're making decisions at 10 o'clock in the morning that are changed and reversed at 10 o'clock at nighttime, and it's having a massive impact. But why those decisions are being made is because the phone calls and the engagement is happening after the decision has been announced, and we back down and you do something for me and I do something for you. I wish to God as grown-ups that we would just have those conversations around the table beforehand. Fine if they break down after weeks of trying because there is nothing that either can do. Well, then obviously you might resort to something else in that attempt to protect your own businesses. But you certainly don't do that at the beginning. But we do know that the new president has a particular style. I'm not sure how long that style is going to be sustained. I really hope for not very long because there are absolutely no winners in the actions that are being taken and the retaliation of actions that are being taken by countries around the world. Nobody wins here.
Emma Harrod, look at the economics of it then. Some of the tariffs that have been put in place are obviously politically motivated in the sense that they are aiming at areas where it'll impact on the Republicans' core vote. Little surprise that the Kentucky Bourbon is one of the areas that is being focused on. Likewise, one assumes the aim of hitting the French wine industry is to try to strike right at the heart of the EU. How significant will these tariffs be for the various different industries involved?
I mean, I think, as Regina said, it's very hard to know which tariffs and how they will be applied and at what level. So, you know, all of that uncertainty for those industries is really, really harmful in the first instance. I suppose if we look at what the impact is of a tariff on any good, so the reason that economists would caution against using tariffs really for any reason. So often it's applied, say, to protect a particular domestic industry. But again, history would show us that politicians are really bad at picking winners. So, you know, often they're applied to protect a particular industry, but it leads to inefficiencies. And it's also usually their application or also exemptions from tariffs are generally very much connected to which sectors are the most organised or have the strongest lobby groups or are best connected politically. So the tariffs are very distortionary, and really the outcome of most tariffs is just to increase costs to consumers, and those increased costs would outweigh any benefits to particular industries. If you look at, say, you know, for example, if he was to go ahead with retaliatory tariffs on alcohol imports into the US from the EU, we do know that previously the EU had a 25% tariff on bourbon, and that reduced US exports to the EU by 20% over 3 years. So if you look at, you know, kind of extrapolating, if you look at the potential impact on, for example, Irish whiskey exports, which are worth about 1 billion euro, if they were to have a 200% tariff placed on them, obviously we would see huge reductions in the exports to the US.
Now, Trump has something of a fascination with people around him with the Reagan administration. I mean, MAGA as case in point taken from Reagan. Reagan did use tariffs strategically. He used tariffs to protect Harley Davidson from Japanese motorcycle imports long enough for them to financially re-engineer themselves. So is there any chance that Trump may be looking at this thinking, well, the California wine industry will be able to take up the slack and ultimately it'll be a good thing. It just may take a few months or years for that to happen.
And that's certainly what he's trying to signal to his supporters now, because, you know, we've seen like the S&P 500 has dropped nearly 10% from the high in February last month. And we know that analysts are increasingly warning about the risks of a US recession. So Goldman Sachs analysts have upped their estimate of the chance of a recession from 15 to 20%. Again, because of this sort of uncertainty and these new tariffs that are being indicated. So he's clearly suggesting there'll be a period of transition. But, you know, as I said, it's really protecting domestic industries. putting tariffs on competitors is not a good or efficient way to do that. And what the direct impact is going to be on US consumers is that they are going to, you know, if there's a large tariff imposed on imports, they're going to see that that will result in higher inflation for them. So we've again seen that the tariffs that were put on, so strategic tariffs that were put on, for example, by Trump in his last administration, and some of which were continued by Biden, we've seen that those contributed to the cost of living crisis that the US experienced. And, you know, the Tax Federation in the US estimated that the impact of those tariffs was equivalent to about a $625 increase in costs for an average US household. So they, you know, while in some cases they may increase demand for certain US products, they're very inefficient and costly, particularly to consumers.
Emma, thank you very much. It's Emma Howard, economist at TU Dublin. Regina Doherty, Fine Gael MEP for Dublin. To go back to you, you said that in an ideal world, the way trade is dealt with is people in dialogue around the table. We're very far from that ideal world. Does the EU at this point, do you think, does it have to respond like for like at this point on? Does it need to make clear that any tariffs like this will be met with an equal and opposite immediate reaction?
I think that's the press release or the announcement that's being kind of done in the bombastic way. So you say something, I have to retaliate. But thankfully, pragmatically, our trade commissioner was in Washington 2 weeks ago. He's heading back there tomorrow. The dialogue between the people who actually make the decisions and can see the nuances between trade deficits and, you know, talk about what it is that we're actually trying to achieve by these protectionist tariffs. They do that around the table. And that's really maybe why we're seeing the flexibility of President Trump, that he announces something of a morning and by the following morning he's reversed it because those people have sat around the table. I wish to God, you know, it's funny, Emma says that politicians are not very good at, you know, backing particular political horses. I wish she was wrong, but she is right, because these decisions are made in a pragmatic way when you sit around the table and treat each other with respect. Protectionist policies don't work. They make the consumers' costs for the goods that they're buying more expensive than the cost of living and inflation for. And in order to be competitive, you have to compete. You can't exclude people from your markets because they've got an advantage of you or they got, you know, they stole a march. We've examples in the European Union where we have tariffs on Chinese solar panels and Chinese electric cars because they took advantage of targets that we set in the European Union. Whereas you can't blame them for taking advantage. The European Union should have been more competitive in supporting its own manufacturing. You know, so there's ways to fix the issues that each country might have with each other, but it's around the table you do that, not through kind of loudspeaker or megaphone diplomacy.
Regina, thank you. That's Regina Doherty, Fine Gael MEP for Dublin.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.